This is Mae Brussel, and I'm going to continue the second half of World Watchers Now, program number 847. Now, there have been a lot of articles about the drug traffic with Honduras. The senior Honduras Army officers with General Antonio Noriega in Panama are setting up a major drug operation in Honduras. The Colombian drug cartel, the Medellin cartel, has close ties to Honduras and also to Fidel Castro. And Robert Vesco, the Medellin cartel, is living in Cuba. So what is getting the people in Washington bananas is the fact that what if the drug traffic gets in the hands of the leftists and they control the drug traffic that the far-right fascist Nazis since World War II have had, or earlier than World War II, but the drug traffic that has escalated, what if they take it out of the hands of the paramilitary and the far right wing, and then the left begins to use it for their purposes? Now, the drug traffickers in Honduras have corrupted, according to the news accounts, political parties, army officers. That isn't just Honduras, that's the United States. Juan Ramon Mata Ballesteros is one of the big characters in the Honduras story. He's one of the major Medellin dealers. He's wanted in the United States for killing an American drug enforcement agent, Enrique Camarena Salazar, who was killed in Mexico in 1985. He lives in Honduras. He has built up a fortune worth $2 billion. Remember when Howard Hughes had $2 billion? We thought that was a lot. And he also has gotten the Honduran army into the drug dealing. Jorge Osha, a defendant in the Christic Institute, a bigwig in the Medellin cartel, was arrested in Colombia recently, driving a Porsche that belonged to Honduran military attaché Colonel Saeed Spear. And all of a sudden, the Medellin thing was so obvious because OSHA's driving around in a car owned by the Honduras military drug people that trade with him. The chief of the Honduran Army Intelligence, Colonel Leonidas Torres Arias, is involved in drug traffic with Meta. And according to the news accounts, the CIA didn't mind the drug dealing until it found out that Arias was also giving guns to the Salvadoran rebels and the Sandinistas and Castro. And this set off the scene for Panama's confrontations, and then it'll be Honduras. And the CIA agents have really said we can't even compete with them in terms of money. There's an article, the U.S. rents houses as part of their embassy, from Jose Ramon Mata, the very man who notorious killing of American drug agent in Mexico, the wealthy drug dealer in Honduras. We rent for our embassy's property from him. They did no security checks. Honduras military chief General Humberto Hernandez is suspected of protecting the Colombia drug dealers that are in Honduras, and Honduras was a big base for our Contras to have their armies there. And again, another story said no problem with U.S. officials, except that the drug enforcement agent, a well-known one, was tortured and murdered in Mexico. But the opening of the Honduras drug story began when they discovered $1.4 billion worth of cocaine came into Florida. It was on a lumber shipment from Honduras, and that's when they were forced to look into Honduras. We looked the other way and knew this was going on. And the Medellin cartel worked also with John Holland and the Contras. But all of a sudden, over $1 billion arrives in Miami, and a few feathers start flying. Another story about Honduras, which is very important, that I want to share, is the assassination attempt of the president of Honduras, President Roberto Cordoba Suazo. And the man who's in the Miami jail, who put up $10 million of cocaine money, to kill the president, his name is General Jose Hueso Rosa. And he's in a jail in Miami. And the story, important story about this, is that Oliver North and Nestor Sanchez, who was in our Defense Department for 25, 28 years, and Elliot Abrams, and these people have been trying to get out a man caught with 10 million cocaine who's going to kill the president of Honduras because he can spill the beans in jail. He was jailed there, and now they're trying to get him out. Some of the major stories that have come, for example, February the 12th, 1988, military officers in Honduras are linked to drug trade. Another Honduran army linked to drug trade worries U.S. officials. One's the New York Times, the other's the L.A. Times. It comes out, and the Washington Post had a large story. The L.A. Times said, when U.S. aid links Honduran military chief to drug trade. And these are, again, not little articles. These are full-page articles that are coming out that are filled with information just as the Iran-Contra. articles were pouring out. The L.A. Times, February 13th, Honduran military base, military boss suspected of protecting the cocaine traffickers. Just as in Panama, the CIA and other agencies have looked the other way and said it wasn't a problem, and they've been protecting these traffickers. The L.A. Times story by Doyle McManus and Ronald Ostrow is a long one of the United States' role with the cocaine people. Then a long story from Executive Intelligence Review almost 2 years ago, April 1986. NARC-Contra scandal blows up Central American policy. And this has to do with the narcotics and the drug running and Reagan's so-called war on drugs and the use of Elliot Abrams to protect these drug dealers, drug running, and working with the Contras. This came out 2 years ago, and the article says that just the tip of the iceberg is the story of American law enforcement and drug running operations out of Costa Rica and the airstrips. And this is very much part of the Christic Institute suit. And the allegations of this article 2 years ago were confirmed by Mr. Rodriguez's testimony with the Senate hearings 2 weeks ago that drug money went to the Brigade 2506, those are the anti-Castro Cubans, the CIA-led Cuban team formed in 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion, and then the San Francisco Examiner, March 16th, 1986, had a long article about San Francisco persons arrested and sending money to the Contras, and that story is being developed by the Senate and Senator John Kerry's committee. This article on the drug running and the Medellin cartel and the CIA and Elliot Abrams and the factors that came out 2 years ago. The years go fast, but it was 2 years ago. And then again this week, just the 24th of February, death squads returned to Honduras, which is typical with a lot of this drug traffic. And again, the U.S. rents to drug suspect. We rent houses and rooms from the drug suspect. The embassy never did a check on where, and I don't believe that's not true. I think they're close to the facts of the people doing the drug dealing. But as long as they were arming the Contras and sending their drug profits and their airplanes to John Hall and the ranch down there, then that was okay and everything was kosher. It's when they begin to give it to the El Salvadoran rebels and Castro or into Cuba and into the Nicaragua government to fight the same weapons as the Contras are doing, then that causes the consternation. Out of a Italian newspaper that this friend sends to us and translates the it's called the Il Messaggero di Roma, April the 8th, 1987, almost a year ago, at the center of the Sicilian Golden Triangle is a family, the Ferreras, one of the most powerful families in Italy, and it tells about their impatience in not being able to get into the drug market quickly. They bought themselves some ships for this drug traffic. One is called the Alexandros T, a down payment of the huge amount of money, Greek drachma. The ship becomes a property of Piorto Shipping in Honduras. Who was behind the mysterious name of the ship? And this article is about the using Honduras for Sicilian mafia and drug pushers. But and then another long article in Executive Intelligence Review, December 1987, the cocaine pushers, the Honduras connection. And I'll do more on that with you in a moment if I get time to get back to that particular article. And this is about the Honduran drug czar, Jose Ramon Mata Ballesteros, the one whose property we use for our American embassies and so forth. But I want to get to the Ollie North story and the use of our American army to try and get out a notorious person using cocaine money and planning to kill the president of Honduras. I heard Mr. D'Amato, Senator D'Amato, this evening's television saying that Noriega is a killer. He killed a person, and they're referring to Mr. Spadafora, who incidentally has been linked to Oliver North and Robert Owens' tricks in Costa Rica. I'll do more on that later, and I might have referred to it before. A killer. But this is the way the story came down about a real planned killer and a man who's killed before, who's very close to the National Security Council and to Reagan's White House. October 22nd, 1984, and for 3 or 4 days after, there were a whole series of articles which I pulled out of my files on Honduras. One, the Wall Street Journal, FBI nips a plot to kill the president of Honduras. Eight people are arrested. They were going to kill Honduran president Mr. Suazo, and the price for killing him was $10.3 million put up by General Jose Buesa Rosa. This is Wall Street Journal. If you want to go to the newspapers of this date of February 22nd, 1984, you can look them up. Long article, New York Times, FBI arrests 8 in a plot to oust Honduras president. And this 84 period is where we were setting up the bases and getting it ready for operations of the Contras in Honduras. And in return, the drug traffic was building up with Jose Ocean and the Medellin cartel working with the Contras in Honduras. All the major newspapers had stories on this. The Washington Post had one, again, the L.A. Times. And November 2nd, following that, the FBI said it broke up the plot to kill a Honduran president. Houston Post, November the 2nd, attempt to kill Suazo failed. And again, the Wall Street Journal had a long column. It was a very outrageous plot to kill the president of Honduras, and it involved over $10 million of cash put up by General Buesa Rosa. Now, the New York Times, February the 23rd, 1987, has a long article, maybe two-thirds of a page, the New York Times, North urged leniency for Honduran linked to the assassination plot. Oliver North asked for leniency for Jose Buesa Rosa, the former Minister of Defense of Honduras, who was going to kill Roberto Suazo Cordova. Oliver North and the National Security Council have come to his help to try and get him out. The San Francisco Examiner had a picture of Ollie and Betsy North and a long article that covers the whole half of the newspaper page. North linked to mercy plea for would-be Honduran assassin. Now, this is an administration where Reagan is asking to stop drugs, to say no. Nancy says say no. George Bush is in charge of drug traffic. And the National Security Council and the White House are teamed up to get this person into office to continue the drug traffic of the Medellin cartel so they'll fund the Contras and kill the president of Panama. The long articles that I've outlined, both of those from the San Francisco Examiner, New York Times, and I'll give you the essence of them. They say Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North tried to pressure the State Department. He used the State Department to intervene last year in a federal court where the Honduran general was convicted of conspiring to assassinate the former president of Honduras. Nestor Sanchez, recently retired from the Pentagon, and Lieutenant General Robert Schweitzer, formerly of the Pentagon, he's now representative on the Inter-American Defense Board, wanted help from the State Department to get Mr. Buesa Rosa out of jail. Nestor Sanchez, as I described him, I had his name on the air just last week, he's the man from the Pentagon that was responsible for the arms shipments coming from Glenn Suham, the fellow that I talked about the last 2 weeks who was murdered in Paris. Suham sent weapons from Contras, and they were intercepted by Noriega in Panama. Suham was murdered in December of 86. Well, Nestor Sanchez was the gentleman from the Pentagon who was involved with the shipment of the weapons of that ship, the Pia Vesta, the seizure of that ship was seized. That's the same Sanchez who is described in Washington Post just a year ago, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Inter-American Affairs. He helped supervise U.S. military involvement with the Contras, and he was expected to train and ferry supplies to the rebels. He worked for the CIA for 30 years, and he also worked for the Defense Department here for 28, overlapping them at the same time, I suppose, or going from one to the other. Before retiring, his job changed. He was CIA 30 years, then to the Pentagon, and now he works for the Organization of American States, and he wanted the State Department to come in. Another person that wanted to save this person caught red-handed, Mr. Rosa caught red-handed with the $10 million of cocaine cash, drug money, and drugs right in his pocket. Michael Armacost of the Defense Department, who took over the joint United States-Israel Political Military Command in 1983, following Kissinger Associates, Lawrence Eagleburger was there, and he followed him. He's a third rank in the Defense Department. Eagleburger left that position of joint U.S. military Israel Political Military Command to become chairman of Kissinger Associates, Eagleburger, and then Armacost took his job as third-ranking official of the State Department and part of a senior group of administration officials overseeing the Contra program. Armacost is a career foreign service officer under the Secretary of State for Political Affairs. So Nestor Sanchez and Armacost want the man out of jail who would kill the president of Honduras. going back to this 1944 period and then pressuring later, right up to the time of the Iran-Contra affair, because they want to put in a person who will help the dealing of the drug cartel with the Contras and make sure it doesn't get in the hands of the rebels and those kinds of people. You know what that would be. Sanchez admitted talking to the State Department officials, and he's trying to get General Buso Rosa out of jail. Lieutenant General Robert Schweitzer, S-C-H-W-E-I-T-Z-E-R, is also interested in his freedom. He left the Pentagon and works for Washington-based international organization, the Inter-American Defense Board, and it's composed of the Organization of American States, and he's a large arms dealer for the international, it's called the International Arms Inter-American Defense Board. Former head of the OAS was Mr. Orfea. Remember, Orfea was removed or pushed aside because of a scandal. He was taking money from the Organization of American States while he was on the salary of Robert Keith Gray and Company, and Robert Gray was the employer of Robert Owen, who was taking money from OPIC, that insurance group, down to John Hall to the tune of $850,000. And Robert Owen was the liaison to Carl Spitz Channel, the State Department, John Singlob, and Robert Brown. And he came out of Robert Gray's office where Orfea works. He was getting a salary from Gray while he's getting a salary from the Organization of American States. The private funds that the Contras use are really for military purposes, and they use the Geneva bankers. But the this nest of worms involves the State Department and people high up who want Rosa out. General Jose Buesa Rosa pleaded guilty to attempted assassination, to plot a coup in Honduras, and all drug charges were dropped against him. Now, people have gone to the California jails or in the United States, anywhere, they've gone to jail for 28, 30 years having a certain amount of drugs, but this man only had $10 million with him in cocaine, so that's not very much. The article says that federal judge Sidney Arnovich in Miami receives a lot of letters from fine and upstanding people saying that Rosa should be out, and among them, he said, was Oliver North, Nestor Sanchez, and Robert Schweitzer. The Contras have operated from the Honduran bases with the help of the Honduran armed forces, and North being on the National Security Council field, that Rosa, who knew about the back-channel weapons to Nicaragua rebels during the 1984-86 congressional ban on American military assistance to Contras, might embarrass the National Security Council and the White House if he were tried on drug and murder for hire. So in order to cover their bases, they're willing to let this notorious drug dealer out and this would-be murderer, and then get rid of the former president and literally be able to control the activities on Honduras. The judge dropped the charges of $10 million in the cocaine because they let his partners be charged. There were seven of them, but they didn't want to tamper with this affair because of the high level of National Security Council, and that if he went to trial, he pleaded guilty fast, and the State Department said let him out because then otherwise you'll know too much about our assistance to the Contras by way of Contra. The New York Times says details of North's intervention in the Rosa case were on computer backup tapes that the White House turned over to a commission investigating the National Security Council. Buesa and associates had 700 pounds of cocaine to sell to finance the coup. We should just tell Nancy they should just say no to cocaine. 700 pounds of cocaine, the equivalent of $10 million. A quick retirement came after this scandal of various officials that then shifted their jobs and went into other places. Sanchez retired from the State Department January 31st, 1987, when the computer files came out with his name and the activities. He was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Inter-American Affairs. He quickly retired. He called Rosa an honorable man who had made a little mistake. Honduran President Jose Azanca wrote to President Reagan to release Buesa at this time. He succeeded Suazo, the man that was to be killed, in January 1966. And he said the idea of having the president write the White House was dreamed up by Rosa and other people. Otherwise, I suppose they would get the economic problems that Salvador Allende got in Chile or the Panama Noriega is getting in Panama now by cutting off the money. And the White House said that this letter was written, but it brought Ollie North into the act. And General Rosa, when he pleaded guilty, about the plans. The point man in Honduras for him, speaking up for him, was Representative Philip Crane III. Now, Crane from Oklahoma, he's on the board of Western Goals with Betsy North's father and with John Zinglaub and with Mr. Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb. And he also was a point man for $5 million that was to pass hands just this past year in Oklahoma to kill Ortega in Panama. The persons that were caught transferring $5 million to kill Ortega, and they would go, of course, through Honduras, and they have their compatriots there. The point man was Philip Crane on the board of Western Gold, and nothing ever was brought out in the news about prosecution or what this guy is doing. They've probably let him off, but they were to use Honduras for these deals. Now, the problem with us in Central America is cited in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and Washington Post just this week was the price that the Medellin cartel has with their money, and that no CIA agent or agency in America can equal it anymore. The San Francisco Examiner article on this story says the Honduran president told the United States intelligence source that he was pressed by the Honduran military officers to get Americans to spring Rosa out, that they want him out, that Rosa and eight others, after they were indicted for this planned coup, were having the support of people in Honduras that followed the next president after the one that he wanted murdered out. They were willing to get Rosa out and begin activity again. And, of course, he would be a good one to work with them because he has the goods on Americans who have let him out. The lawyers for Rosa said at the trial that the plot, the murder, the drug payments was sanctioned by the CIA, and the agency then backs off, you're on your own, and there's that deniability. The coup was broken up by an Army Major Charles Odorizzi, and I think you've heard his name before. He actually was a member of the Delta Force with Ollie North, with the commando unit. He worked with the plotters, but he actually was a double agent for the FBI. He received a $50,000 award, and he brought the assassination plot and the coup and the drug scheme to another man known to people who do research on the paramilitary, Colonel Charles Beckwith. Beckwith worked with Ollie North and was in charge of the Delta Force officers that failed in 1980 with that so-called rescue attempt in Iran to get the hostages. And Beckwith was told by Odorizzi the plans to kill the president in Panama and the drug money that was being passed to do it. And Beckwith checked with the Central Intelligence Agency, and they referred the plot to the FBI. Odorizzi was hired by the FBI. He kept the plot in progress. And then Beckwith dropped out of the case, and he said he was annoyed that the CIA told the FBI that it would be okay. These special forces have a lot of muscle, a lot of influence, and he said it would be okay. And Beckwith testified at the trial that the plotters he talked with had wanted to take someone out. They did indeed. And they both got an extra $3,000 for various expenses, and a hit team was to be sent over to kill the president of Panama. And Rosa was the Honduran military attaché to Chile. He works under Pinochet in Chile and represented Honduras. And so you know he had a lot of experience with the death squads and the murder of Salvador Allende, representing Honduras over there in Chile. And he was ousted as chief of staff by the Honduran army. In 1984, there was a shakeup, and he was ousted. And when he was demoted, that's when he went to Florida. And his ouster was engineered by a young Honduran officer who felt that he was among a group of senior officers who turned their country over the United States into the Contras without any sufficient award, that the Contras in the United States had taken over Honduras. So Rosa went to Miami, where he was putting up the money to get back, because the military there didn't want the Contras being trained in Honduras. They didn't want to be controlled by the United States. And so in order to fight off the United States, they have followed the path that many people have done and literally gone to bed with the drug cartel, because the Medellin cartel wanted a base in Honduras, and they were willing to help them get the Contras out of Honduras. And so that our policy in Panama and Honduras is really backfired, because the Medellin cartel has unlimited money. And as they've admitted in these various articles, the CIA used to be able to pay people to do a job, but the Medellin cartel has the amount of money it needs so that Central America could be turned over to the total cocaine cartel. Robert Vesco wanted a base at the island of Dominica, and it was part of a plan to invade that. He's now in Cuba, and it may be that the drug traffic someday may switch to the other side, and America will be told to butt off. And it won't be because of democracy, or maybe it's because they want a democracy in the United States, and the only way to do it is to play the same game we play and play the drug game. So Honduras is central to Ronald Reagan's plans. He wanted to use it to overthrow the Sandinista government. Ollie North was working for the National Security Council. He made trips to Honduras. He made them with Henry Kissinger and so forth. So that Honduras and Panama are very well paid by the Medellin cartel. If one agent there who's wanted for murder of a drug agent can't be brought home and has $2 billion, the plot gets thicker and thicker. And so this is another country that we're going to have to deal with after we deal with Panama, however we think we're dealing with it. The complications here are tremendous because, as Martha Mitchell once said before she got a shot in her behind that turned out to be a fatal cancer, the mafia's in the White House, and literally the agencies have gone along with this drug dealing for so long, thinking it served their purposes, that now they're stuck confronting it, and they can't meet it eye to eye. They can't take it on. They can't work with it, and they can't take it on. So it'll be interesting to see how these factions meet each other on this battlefield or chess field, like a chessboard in the future. Well, this completes the first half of World Watchers, and I'll be back with you in 1 minute, 2 minutes to take your calls. I want to conclude by saying the previous hour of World Watchers has been made possible in part by Aries Arts, in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for 20 years. The views expressed here are those of myself and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kazoo's staff or board of directors. You hang in there, and I'll be back with you in just a moment.